This is a reading from Daniel. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all of this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus looked up to his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." The Gospel of the Lord.
On this Feast of All Saints, we hear from a portion of the prophecy of Daniel. It's the seventh chapter, and this is the portion of the book of Daniel that begins what the scholars call apocalyptic literature or apocalyptic imagery. And the best way to think about this kind of stuff, where you start coming across visions and dreams of, you know, four-headed beasts or seven-headed beasts and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff going on, is to think of this as biblical science fiction. And here's why. Because by the time you get to this part of the history of the people of Israel, the time of King Belshazzar of Babylon, they have been overrun so much, so often, by one conqueror or another, with their lives dismantled, their families taken apart, their children enslaved, their livelihoods taken away from them, that they can no longer ask the question, where is God in this madness? It's like they've gone so far beyond that question. And so what happens among some of the prophets is that they begin to imagine an alternate reality in which God is still alive and well, and that somehow, who knows how, that alternate reality is going to impinge on our current reality, which is one where we can't even imagine that God exists anymore. Does that make sense? And so it does. Apocalyptic, both in the Hebrew scriptures and in the Christian scriptures, functions a lot like the best of science fiction today. How many of you folks read any kind of science fiction or fantasy? How many of you folks actually read anymore? I'm just kidding. I mean, some of the best science fiction I've ever come across, again, imagines this alternate world or an alternate or a future reality where all kinds of things are going on that can help us sort of sort through what's happening in our lives today. And that's how apocalyptic is supposed to work. So when you come across that, you can think of it in those terms. And then we have this section, once again, from the Gospel of Luke. We've sort of traipsed back now into an earlier part of the Gospel of Luke. This is the sixth chapter where the biblical scholars call this the Sermon on the Plain. And not the airplane, either. Yeah, he's not flying over the Middle East or anything. It's in contrast to the scene in the Gospel of Matthew that is described as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus ascends a mountain, this huge crowd gathers around him, and he begins to teach. And the first words out of his mouth in the Gospel of Matthew are what we refer to as the Beatitudes. And here, these aren't the first words out of the mouth of Jesus, but they're certainly at the core of the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. But here, he's come off the mountain, he's come down into the flatlands, hence the Sermon on the Plain. And unlike the scene in Matthew's Gospel, where he's talking to this enormous crowd that eventually gets fed as the 5,000 or the 15,000 or however many people are out there, here in this scene, Jesus has moved through the crowd with his eyes down as though he doesn't want to make eye contact right now. And then he connects with his immediate followers, those men and those women who have responded to his invitation to follow. So it's this small group of people that he's gathered with now. And he takes these teachings and he puts them right between their eyes. Blessed are you who are poor. Anybody fall under that category? I thought not. So just to make sure that everyone gets covered in his group of followers, he then says, but woe to you who are rich. He is covering all the ground. And it gives a little clue about how this ancient community of Luke imagined the original followers of Jesus, that some of them may be poor, but not all of them. Some of them apparently are rich, because again, he's doing this, you know, right between their eyes with them. And so he's got this mixed group of people with whom he is talking. And he mixes all these up. Who's blessed, who's rich, to the point where it's hard to tell who's who. And there's a reason for that. Because in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as an individual. As in our, you know, rugged individual way of life here in America in the 21st century. That idea, that concept of humanity didn't even exist. The idea of independence, though it is a value of our culture, is in no way, shape, or form a gospel value. He is speaking to a group of people about what a group of people, or for our purposes, a community, looks like. We'll come back to that in a second. And so one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, well, if I imagine myself as part of that kind of community, this mixed bag of, you know, poor and rich, those who are blessed and those who need to be aware, is the translation of the word woe in the Greek. If we were Australian, the beginning of the Beatitudes would be, good on ya. Good on ya for being poor. because you'll be paying attention to certain things, right? I mean, on it goes. And so we can ask ourselves, well, how, you know, if I'm going to sign up here, I showed up this morning for Sunday service, what does it take to participate in this kind of a mixed community? And one of the things that we've noted in the past is that there are certain things we can do on our own. We have to do everything as a community. And one of them goes like this. These three, and I got this, by the way, from one of my morning meditation books. These three, self-examination, meditation, and prayer, form a circle without a beginning or an end. No matter where or how I start, I eventually arrive at my destination, a better life with those around me. So we exercise self-examination, prayer, meditation, and it's one of the ways that we can claim our place in the community. And then in another one of my morning resources, I came across a prayer attributed to St. Patrick. And our closest tie to this prayer is actually in the hymnal, and it is hymn 370, and it begins with the words, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. Go ahead, Nancy. And this is the beginning of the prayer. Against all Satan's spells and wiles, against false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles, against the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave and poison shaft, protect me, Christ, till thy returning. And that's the tune. Thanks, Nancy. You'll find that again in the hymnal. It's hymn 370, and it's beautiful. And it goes on forever. And we thought about inflicting it on you today and decided not to, other than this little interlude. So thank you, Nancy, for that. Now, if you're like me, a beautiful prayer like St. Patrick's, the beginning words of that prayer, I just cannot remember. I mean, I can't bring them to mind. And early in my spiritual journey, my current spiritual journey, which actually began about 2 years after I was ordained an Episcopal priest, prior to this time, I was a little preoccupied with really important things that had all to do with me. But once that spiritual journey started kicking in some 34 years ago, I was given a prayer that I not only could remember, but I've carried with me all these years. And it goes like this. Lord, protect me from myself. I cannot tell you the last day I've moved through where that prayer hasn't been helpful to me. And so it was given to me as a gift. I offer it now to you. Lord, protect me from myself. I get so wrapped around myself, and I imagine myself as this autonomous, independent person. And I lose my connection to you and ultimately to God and to the rest of creation when I end up in my own head. And it's a dangerous place to be for any length of time. I always wake up there. I mean, I don't know about you, but as soon as I wake up, it is all about me. and I need a way to get out from under that madness. And so this prayer that was given to me has been of great use. Other prayers, the whole discipline of self-examination, prayer, and meditation that I mentioned earlier, these are all ways that you and I can remain connected and claim our place in this community that Jesus invited to form and to follow him. And so these Beatitudes and the woes belong to us as a people, not just to me. This is not, you know, some pressure that Jesus is putting on you and me to conform with all the things that are blessed and to avoid all the things, you know, that are to be wary of. No. These are all about our common life and things that we need to be paying attention to. And so in a little bit, when we gather ourselves up to engage in the renewal of the baptismal covenant, that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, to say, okay, I still think it's all about me, but I'm going to try something different today and pay attention at least to some extent to the people around me, to begin to notice that, one, we're all connected, two, we are all blessed, and not just those who have gathered here, but all of humanity, three, all of us have been sort of warned to be wary of the things that will trip us up, you know, that will keep us isolated, that will keep us in this independent place. I'm my own person. And allow us to experience Jesus, what Jesus taught. He never used this word, but the word that conjures today is interdependent, that we're all one with each other. And the great, one of the great gifts of the church that's been handed down through the ages is the one that we remember today, the Feast of All Saints, that you and I are members of the communion of the saints. In other words, those who have gone before, generations and generations upon whose shoulders you and I now stand. I read the beginning of the latest historical journal put out by the Historical Society in the state of Nevada. It has a fabulous article about St. Paul's, Virginia City, the Episcopal Church up there. And get this, I did not know this. Their original building, which was built in the early 1860s, burned to the ground along with the rest of Virginia City, and their current building was built in 1875, which makes us older than them. And I didn't know that. I always thought St. Paul's was the mothership, right? Well, we're sitting in it, apparently. This is the oldest Episcopal Church building still standing in the state of that. There's got to be a way we can work this, don't you think? I mean, we got to be able to put this to our advantage. Yeah, there are a lot of different ways you can spin that prayer. But we're part of the communion of the saints. Again, all the generations that have gone before, the people that we now gather with, not just here, but all across the planet, and those future generations yet to come. All of us part of this wonderful communion of the saints. And we're all in it together, all connected, all moving in the same direction toward the loving presence of a God that'll never let us go, as we say. So, take a moment. Against all Satan's spells and wiles, against false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles, against the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave and poison shaft, protect me, Christ, till thy returning. And oh yeah, protect me from myself. Take a nice deep breath.